I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. And this week's opening quote comes from Eli Weisel. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Life truly can be surprising at times, folks. Certainly, it's not always what we have planned for, and very often we find ourselves in situations where we are tested in ways we never imagined could be part of our lives. Times come where what we knew as reality becomes changed, what we viewed as truth becomes hazy, becomes questionable, and we're forced to question our surroundings and question our very path through life. You know, is it still the one that we have chosen to walk, or are we being led in another direction by subtle forces that exist beneath our basic awareness? Are the thoughts we are having our own thoughts, and are the decisions we are making based on ideas and concepts that are born from our own minds, or have other concepts somehow been inserted into our thinking? And everywhere we turn in the world today, folks, regardless of what direction we look in, we see programming, a veritable assault on the human senses. It's everywhere we look. It's on billboards, it's on street signs, shop windows, televisions, radios, movies, the media, the entertainment and music industries. It blankets the internet, it's in advertising, it adorns our supermarket shelves, it's found in education, in fashion, fads and candy bars. People in the modern world are quite literally subject to a programming of the senses that comes from every conceivable angle to the point of complete and almost total saturation. And that is the reason most people are locked into the mindsets that they are locked into. And very often, the thoughts that most people are having simply are not their own thoughts. They're ideas and concepts that have been inserted into their way of thinking by the subtle influences of their surrounding environments. And people allow themselves to be influenced in so many ways because they simply don't realize that they are being influenced. They don't realize how they are being controlled. And in many cases, they simply don't realize what they are signing up for and what sort of rights they are giving away, what sort of access to personal information they're giving away to other people, and what the result of giving such information away becomes. You know, when you have a situation such as we have today with the internet and people putting all of their personal details online and putting everything on their phones and allowing themselves to be tracked and monitored as much as they are, what has happened is the powers that believe they be have gathered a quite viable map of the human terrain, in as much as they are able to map the general consciousness of humanity, and they are able to insert certain influences into the social pool, as it were, and they know exactly which direction people are going to go. They know what things people are going to buy into and what things people are not going to buy into. And they know how to get their agenda pushed simply by controlling what people think. And of course, they're able to control what people think by presenting controlled and manufactured news to them, presenting false concepts of reality to people, and also by getting them involved in activities which may have insidious undertones unbeknownst to the people who are involved in the activities. Many of the activities that are available in our society are quite insidious in their very nature. I refer to, of course, to many of the adult activities that may be provided for many members of society. Things that may involve the adult industry, the sex trade, the drug and gambling and prostitution industries, not to mention the music industry, which also has some very insidious undertones. But in regard to what many may consider to be normal activities, you know, designated paths of enjoyment and entertainment zones and social activities that may be deemed acceptable for the entire family, for example, many of the activities they put out there for people to become involved in may look quite normal and fun on the surface, but many actually have quite insidious undertones when they're looked at a little bit deeper. I mean, look at online activities such as social media, like Facebook, for example, which is a very, very successful data mining service that the government uses very regularly when they want to check up on people. And many Facebook friends of people are, in fact, agents and police officers and CIA and NSA and all sorts of other wonderful alphabets that would like to keep tabs on people, and they do so through Facebook. So there's all sorts of insidious undertones to social media and a lot of the gaming activity that kids get up to these days as well. A lot of the Xboxes will map the amount of people in the room. They have facial recognition software built into them. Many modern televisions have facial recognition built into them so that they can present you with 3D television. So it's presented as something quite benign on the surface, but in reality, what it is a surveillance system. It's the same with Windows 10 and Cortana, which listens to all dialogue that is uttered in your house. So this puts a surveillance system in your home. And recently, for example, the Homeland Security wanted to extend its powers with the new Patriot Act that Obama wanted to introduce, which was going to create huge problems for society and be a huge breach of human rights and a huge breach of privacy, some of the things that this bill wanted to do. And of course, everyone arced up against the bill, but what they managed to do was introduce a new game, the Pokemon Go game, which does everything that the new Homeland Security bill wanted to do, and indeed far more. I'm sure there are many people who are familiar with the insidious features of the new Pokemon game and what it's exactly capable of, but what it is, folks, is a surveillance system that is disguised as a game. It really is a very, very insidious program. It maps everything that you point your camera at. Within 12 months of this game being released, the CIA is going to have a comprehensive map of the inside and outside of everybody's homes. It's able to switch your camera on randomly at any time. It's able to record conversations. It's able to access your accounts, your bank accounts, your email accounts, send an email on your behalf, access all of your financial details. It's a very, very insidious program, folks, and it's been created by a former CIA operative and is really like the Homeland Security's Patriot Act on steroids, folks. It's far, far worse than any sort of surveillance laws they wanted to bring in. They've just presented it as a shiny new game for people to play, but really it is a very, very comprehensive surveillance system. And far from Homeland Security or the government needing to introduce it as legislation, they simply have released it as an attractive little Pokemon package, and people are actually paying for their own surveillance. And it really is surveillance that is taken to the next level, ladies and gentlemen. And it really is remarkable how gullible people are and how many people have chosen to sign their freedoms away by installing this application on their phone. Bear in mind, of course, that this is being touted as a game that is going to change the world, and indeed it is going to change the world, and it is changing the world right now. It's just that it's changing the world in a way that people simply don't realize, because there are certain things happening behind the veil of this game which are changing the way government is able to access the personal details of the population. As I said, folks, the game requires access to all of your contacts. It is able to find accounts on your device and access your camera. The app even requires full access to your Google account, which can then be used to read your emails and send emails from your account and access your Google Drive documents and photos and all of this sort of stuff. And when you read the game's privacy policy, you see such wonderful sentences as, "We may disclose any information about you or your authorized child that is in our possession or control to government or law enforcement officials or private parties." Do you like that one, folks? That's a wonderful line, isn't it? Especially the authorized child part. I like that. And as I said, folks, the maker of the app, Niantic Labs, is run by a man called John Hankey, who was also the founder of Keynote, the mapping company, which eventually rolled out into Google Maps. And the Pokemon app is taking the internet by storm, folks, and it's scooping up everyone's data, including all their activities, all their movements, all their communications, and it is mapping the inside and the outside of every building they enter. And it's all being presented to the world as a fun new game for children to play. Let me just say this, folks. If you are a responsible parent, you will not allow your children to play this game. And if you are a responsible individual yourself, you will not play this game. And those who are playing this game are really signing their lives away, signing their freedoms away, signing their futures away. I'd say that the people who are playing this game are truly some of the most lost and misguided souls this world has ever seen. And that's not necessarily because gaming is bad or evil or anything like that. It's just because of what this game is doing and people's willingness to buy into this game without reading the fine print or really investigating what the wider implications of playing it are. Because this truly is a game like no other, folks, simply due to its ability to map and monitor your entire environment inside and out of your house and to access all of your accounts. And again, presented to the world as a fun new game. And there are many instances like this, folks. Look at Windows 10. Windows 10 monitors your every action. It has the added feature of Cortana, of course, which will answer any question that you ask it. All you have to do is say, "Hey, Cortana," before you ask the question, and the computer will know that you are talking to the computer, and it will answer for you. But the ability for it to do that means it's listening to you all the time, ladies and gentlemen. It's monitoring the conversations in your house. And, of course, you have now 3D televisions and 3D computer screens which map your room, map your living room through facial recognition. And this is the same through Xboxes. So we're seeing a huge surveillance system being installed right across the virtual world and across the entire entertainment and electronic media network that is basically being rolled out to the people disguised as pretty games and user-friendly applications, when really they're nothing of the sort, folks. What they are tools that the government uses to monitor and spy on the populace. And again, the interesting part about it is that people are actually paying to be monitored in this way. They are paying to install these surveillance systems in their home. Homeland Security doesn't need to do a thing. They don't even need to roll out any legislation. They can just write a new Pokemon app, and everyone will go for it by default. And that's the way they do it, folks. They make surveillance trendy. They make it a new game, and they make people pay for their own imprisonment and their own monitoring. That's the way they've done with mobile phones. Everybody who owns a mobile phone is tracked everywhere they go every 90 seconds. All of their information is stored, all of their accounts are accessible. Any text or email or phone conversation they've had for the last 7 years can be recalled and reviewed. And when you tie that in with Facebook and all of the other social media surveillance that they've got in place, then you see a very, very comprehensive surveillance system that people have paid for themselves. And then couple that with the new games that they're introducing, such as the things that are coming out on Xbox with facial recognition and room mapping, and the new Pokemon game, which maps the entire environment that you live in, and you see that pretty well everything about everybody's private lives is now accessible to the powers that believe they be, and of course all of that information can be used against them. And if there isn't information there to be used against them, well, I'm sure information can be very easily inserted into their profile, which will be used against them if need be. Because the powers that believe they be are anything but honest, and they are very, very well known for manufacturing evidence against people. British MI5 has even openly admitted that they are doing this, that they've been accessing people's accounts and sending emails on their behalf and signing them up to things that they don't belong to just in order to be able to press charges against them for breaches of whatever cyber laws they've concocted. And now we see with the introduction of these new games that they are able to access everybody's everything, really. And so it's going to become very, very easy for them to basically construct whatever evidence they want against anybody who's speaking out against them and easily have that person removed from society. And of course, the media will just play it the way the government wants them to play it. They'll just produce any story that the government wants them to produce to back up the official line. And away the person goes, disappears off the street, locked into a private prison, and no one's the wiser. And of course, the vast majority of the public will simply buy the media propaganda, which has promoted the official story to them, because of course, the media would never lie, would they? And that is unfortunately the way most of the people in this world view society. Well, although I would say that probably it isn't most of the people anymore. I think a great majority of people can see that the media is very contrived and controlled and delivers a lot of false information. But even so, that really doesn't help the people who are incarcerated via this completely corrupt and inhuman system, and the media's promotion of this type of corruption in general, whitewashing over the real issues. We can all know it, folks, but it doesn't really help the people who are imprisoned, and nothing ever really seems to change, and it's not going to change until there is a groundswell of people who are prepared to not only be aware of what's going on, but make their voices heard and start calling this system out for what it is. And there are so many things about this society that are designed to interrupt the flow of human consciousness and to interfere with the flow of human development. One particular way that this is done is by controlling the people's concepts of sexuality. And that's been taken almost to a fine art in our modern society. I mean, sex is as natural as sleeping, eating, or breathing. Sex is something that we all do. It's how we procreate. It's why the human race is here via sexual activity. It's a natural part of our lives. And if we didn't have sexual urges, then we simply wouldn't have a race. So there's nothing wrong with sexuality, and yet our society has constructed a system and a view of sexuality whereby it's taboo. It's something that people don't talk about unless it's in a naughty, fun, devilish type of way. It's just presented in this way, which completely removes people from the natural sexual urges that they have and removes them from their natural sexuality and their natural way that they would approach people of the opposite sex. There's been an incredible amount of effort undertaken to separate the sexes and to distort people's natural sexuality. This has been done by the segregation of the sexes, which has taken place over a number of decades, not only through the suppression and degradation of women, but also via the business model and social systems that we've been subject to. For example, if a man is looking for a good woman, all she has to do really is to be half decent looking and be able to cook well, and the man is quite happy, whereas the man has to jump through several hoops. He's got to have a good job, he's got to have a good income, he's got to be stable, he's got to be good looking, he's got to love the kids, he's got to love doing things women want to do, all sorts of things. There are all sorts of parameters that are put there by the social system whereby women become very choosy of the men they pick. And this creates a society whereby men are very frustrated because there's so many women out there that they're interested in, but they don't believe they have the social standing to be a viable partner for any of these women. And this creates a huge schism right from the start in the way men and women relate to each other. And it's true, folks, there are so many men who simply will not approach certain women because they believe the women to be simply out of their league. And there are many women who do view most men as being way, way below the lead that they're looking for. And again, this is because women have been delivered a certain social standing and told that this is the level of support they need to be searching for and not the level of humanity they need to be searching for. They need to find someone with good business sense rather than someone who is a decent human being. But of course, if you can get both, well, that's also an added bonus, but you must put the business model above the decency, because after all, what you're looking for is someone with a good income that is going to provide you the support you need to have a stable life. And again, this all comes down to the economic system being superimposed over people's reality. But again, there's a lot of beautiful women that I've met through my course in life who tell me that they are quite frustrated because the men that they're interested in simply don't approach them because the men simply don't have the confidence to approach them. So it really does work both ways. And it's a huge social and sexual divide that's been created between the genders, and it's been purposefully created by this society. But the fact remains that many men honestly do believe that they need to be able to check off a certain social checklist which will thereby make them a viable partner or a viable prospect as a partner for someone of the opposite sex, and they are lacking the confidence or the real understanding of their own sexuality to be able to approach the women that they are really interested in. And so, of course, many men have all sorts of pent-up sexual frustrations, and so, of course, they turn to things such as pornography, which does an incredible amount of damage and which has been one of the main things that has been used to undermine our society in very, very subtle and very insidious ways that may not appear apparent to people on the surface. They may simply think pornography is something entertaining that people do. It's a pastime that people do between relationships, or perhaps something that people indulge in to enhance their relationship. But there are actually very insidious undertones to pornography, and it has had a major effect on society, and that's why it's so prevalent in the world today, folks. I mean, literally, pornography is one of the most all-pervasive things on the internet. I mean, there's more pornography on the internet than just about anything else. And when you look at how controlled some of the things on the internet are and how the flow of information is so controlled, you must question why pornography is so prevalent and why it is blanketed everywhere and why it is allowed to be that way. And of course, it's allowed to be that way because it's been done by design, because pornography serves a very specific purpose. And that purpose is, as I said, to basically undermine society by distorting people's sexual view of themselves and of any prospective partners they may meet through their path in life. And why would this be being done, folks? Well, it's all part of the depopulation agenda. Do you realize that a staggering 60%, or just over 60% of males under 40 in Western society have erectile problems due to the fact that they are unable to obtain an erection or indulge in sex without some type of visual stimulation. And when they do indulge in sex, they don't know how to make love. They simply know how to have sex, and only really according to the ways that they've seen on video, which may not always be the way a woman would like. And making love is a natural thing. It's just a natural part of human relationships. It's how we connect with each other. And sure, sex is good, but sometimes you need to have love involved. I mean, it does help folks. And people are losing this. They're losing this connection to their natural sexuality. They are viewing sex as a purely physical thing rather than any type of spiritual bond being there. And again, they are lacking the ability to perform sex in any meaningful way without some type of visual stimulation to go along with it, simply because that is what they are used to. And that is the way their mind has now been wired, or should I say rewired. And this is having all sorts of knock-on effects, folks. Men can't identify with women, so men are turning gay. Women are unable to find suitable partners, and so women are turning gay. And of course, when you have large majorities of men and women turning gay, and of course this being promoted as being quite normal by the mainstream media, then the result is that people don't have babies and the population dies out. And that's really what it's all about, folks. Plus, once you disconnect people from their natural sexuality, they become very, very easy to control because they are very frustrated. There's a schism that happens inside. People's minds become disconnected from their natural self and their natural way of acting through life. Again, all due to social programming, and this creates a schism, and people become very easy to manipulate because there's this frustration that's going on inside them virtually all the time. Often it's very much below the surface. Often the people aren't even aware that that's what their frustration is. Although many people probably will admit it, but many people, of course, are too scared to admit their true sexuality or their true sexual nature to anyone but themselves at the lowest of whispers under the sheets in bed on their own at night. And that is a very unfortunate reality as well. But a lot of this has been designed, as I said, to disconnect people from their sexuality, and there are a certain amount of knock-on effects that are a result. Even when you look at the social systems and the business models that we have, you look at the legal system, you find that a lot of people go to work, if they're in a position of a CEO or a boss or a judge or a lawyer or a school teacher, they go to work and they take out their pent-up sexual frustrations on the people that they deal with all day. Maybe the people that come to the counter to talk to them. It may be the way a teacher treats their students. It may be the way a judge imprisons everybody who comes before the bench that day. But very often people have these sexual urges that they suppress because they are so disconnected from their sexuality, again, all by the programming they receive from this society, and so they take out these frustrations on everybody else. Actually, looking at the Western political and legal systems, one can easily see how these repressed biological urges are being carried out and where many of the victims of this type of thinking really are, although we do see it on all levels of our society. Pornography also provides society with a pressure valve release, much like action movies. People can watch pornography and through constant orgasm, they become apathetic and lethargic and unmotivated and don't really wish to get out and participate in the world too much. They may be aware of the problems, but they figure someone else will fix it. They're a little busy at the time, or perhaps just a little too tired. Pornography also promotes rape. There might be many people who would say the opposite. Pornography creates an outlet and therefore decreases the instances of rape, but such is not the case. Simply because consuming pornography distorts true sexual function and further widens the gap between males and females, and thereby creates frustration in males, which makes rape far more attractive to many of the less confident members of society, because it's simply a lot easier to do than it is to actually go out and actually meet a real woman and behave like a real person, especially if all they're looking for is a sexual outlet, because they are very often fantasizing about many of the things they've seen on the many pornographic videos that they've watched. I mean, in a more sane society, I'm sure there would be a place for pornography. I'm sure there would be people who would need ways to educate themselves because they are inhibited in certain ways. But what the industry has become and the effect that it's had on society is something very, very damaging and something very insidious. And because sex is such a taboo topic, it's something that people are very often unwilling to face. But it's right there in everybody's faces all the time. As I said, it's one of the most prevalent things on the internet. It's something that is having a profound effect upon our society and upon the minds of our children, and it's something that we really do need to pay attention to. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, we really are under attack from all directions, folks, from the psychopaths that run this world, the ruling kakistocracy. They really have done everything they can to destroy and curtail and misdirect the general spirit of humanity. They've got to us in every possible direction that you can think of. And these people are truly utter scumbags, folks. There's no way you're going to get any remedy from these people. You've got to understand that you're dealing with psychopaths who really don't care. These are really the sickest, most insidious scum that nature ever suffered to call themselves human. And there's no way we're going to find a remedy by playing by their rules. Even when we try to address the political system, folks, like last week on the show, I was suggesting that we try to politely find our way through the lower ranks of the political system to find how far we can go before we reach a blockage, because then we know we've reached a psychopath and we can start taking action at that point. But we're never going to find a remedy by using the system against itself in that way. What we've got to do is use the system against itself with an aim to exposing the fact that there is no remedy to the people at large, the people in the society around you. And that's why you can apply a polite approach to lower level politicians, because this will inspire the community around you. They'll see that you're a kind, polite, eloquent person. You're saying the right thing. And when you do ask the right questions, you kind of put the politicians on a spot, and you'll find that many of the lower level politicians will actually attempt to answer the questions. but you'll get to areas where you reach blockages, as I said. And when you do this in a polite and eloquent way, then you've woken up the surrounding community that are paying attention to this little ongoing conversation you're having and this little ongoing social issue that you're trying to deal with. You've got their attention and they see the blockage as well. And you wake them up to the fact that the system is completely corrupt. So, you know, we've got to find ways of navigating the system that's going to not only work for ourselves, but also awaken and empower those around us, and also awaken and empower those lower level politicians who may have a little spark of honesty somewhere in their bones. Of course, this is a very rare thing to find in any politician, but there are some, I'm sure, who do have a little streak of decency somewhere in there, who may actually realize that they are living on the wrong side of history and want to jump the fence and perhaps break ranks and turn against the slavery system themselves. And we're seeing more and more people start to think this way, folks. So we've got to start tailoring our approaches and trying every approach that we can and find what mechanisms are going to work and what is going to make a difference. And it really does annoy politicians when you show up at the council chambers and you ask polite and eloquent questions and do it in a really happy manner and ask questions that completely put them on the spot and expose them as the liars and the criminals that they are. They really don't like that sort of stuff, and it's very inspiring and very empowering for the local community when they see people do this, and it inspires them to do the same. And we can take all of these approaches. We can take legal action and hope for legal responses as well, as long as we're not hoping for any remedy or any success in the legal system. We can still take these approaches because it effectively ties them up in red tape and ties them up in the legal system, and it's just another thorn in their side. So we need to do everything we can to put these thorns in their sides and make them understand that we're not going to go along with them, and we're going to challenge them on every single level, every single step of the way. We have the means to do it, and at least we slow them down and tie them up in their own red tape while we're formulating better plans and working out better ways of doing things. But ultimately, the way to do this, folks, is for people to realize that the world is run by criminals. They're all scumbags. They're all liars. They're all warmongers. They're all carrying out a depopulation agenda against you and your family and everybody you know. And we need to step away from this system and stop complying with the rules that the criminals put in place. Really, that's the only place we're going to find remedy, folks, no matter what other action we take. You know, the best we can hope for from any other action we take is to waken the people around us by exposing the system as being dysfunctional and corrupt and as biased as it is. And the more people we wake up by using the system against itself, then the more people we've got that are going to be standing up against the system when the time comes for a mass move of non-compliance. And I think that time is getting closer by the day, because people really have had enough. You know, we've got World War III on our doorstep. Everything the Western governments are doing has been exposed. We can see what this world is now. We can see what a cesspool it is. We can see how the place is being run and controlled. And we can do something about it. And I think more and more people are seeing that now. And it's not just Western countries that are seeing it. Much of the countries that are not run by Hollywood are seeing it as well, I really do believe. Certainly, I'm sure many of the people in England can see it, that's for sure. They've had their big vote. Brexit was successful. They've left the EU and David Cameron has resigned. And the result has been that you've got Theresa May as the new Prime Minister, who is an utter psychopath, who has openly said without hesitation when asked, would she order a nuclear strike that would kill 100,000 innocent men, women and children in order to protect England? And she said, yes, she would. And folks, how is bombing anybody protecting England? I mean, who's going to attack England? Anybody you know thinking of attacking England? Of course, no one is going to attack England, but what they might do is threaten England's resources or their control of other people's resources overseas, and we can't have anyone interfering with that, and so if they do, we're quite happy to bomb them into oblivion. But of course, it's not them we will be bombing into oblivion. It's not the people who are actually stealing the resources. It's 100,000 innocent men, women and children in their country who had nothing to do with it. And what is that all about, folks? What is wrong with these deranged, brain-dead politicians that they believe that going and bombing innocent people in some country is the way to fight a war? That's the way to stop the government in that country doing things against you or doing things against your interests. How is bombing innocent people a way to achieve anything? And of course, it isn't a way to achieve anything, folks, except achieve satisfaction for the death cult and the doctrine of human sacrifice that the criminals running this world seem to indulge in every action that they take. I mean, some politician from overseas says something that some politician in this country doesn't like, and so the result is to go and carpet bomb cities of innocent people who had nothing to do with the decision. If you are in a government and you have a problem with someone from another government and you wish to have a war with them, then both politicians should get a hammer each and step into a boxing ring and have their war. But they shouldn't involve the people. But of course, what it's really all about, folks, is death and destruction and human sacrifice and depopulation. And of course, Theresa May has shown by her statements and her wanton disregard for human life that she is no better than the psychopathic dead pig molester who had the big chair before her. God knows what sort of sacrifice or ritual she had to indulge in to join whatever club she joined in order to get the position that she's in as well. I'm sure there are just as many clubs that these women join in whatever universities they attend where they have to perform tasks just as gross as the ones that were performed by David Cameron. The rule of Theresa May is no doubt likely to be as big a circus as the rule of David Cameron, if not worse. Let's not forget that Theresa May's husband is actually the head of G4S, so she is virtually sleeping with the police department, and it's very likely we will see a move to privatise the police force and put it into her husband's hands at some point during her reign as well. Really, folks, cacistocracy is too good a word for these people. There really is no word in existence which describes these people to the level that their festering souls deserve. But there really are so many things that are being used against us, you know, like the GMO food, everything. There is so much going on. But as I was saying before the break, folks, all of these things are part of the depopulation agenda. And it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing onslaught that is being directed against mankind from every conceivable direction. Not only through pornography and the surveillance system, such as what they're putting into place with the new Pokemon Go game. I mean, the pornography situation really is a desperate situation. As I said, it has very much divided the sexes, and it is very much contributing to the lack of breeding that we're seeing in the world today, at least in the Western world anyway. And then there is the whole Kalergi plan and the destruction of the races of Europe, which is being misconstrued by so many people as white genocide, when really it's a genocide of all races who are not Jewish by merging all of these races together as one race. Couple all that together with, like I said, the GM food, couple that with what's in the food anyway, the food additives and all the stuff they're putting in what they feed us, couple that again with the fluoride that they put in the water supply and the vaccination program and the chemical spraying in the air, the destruction and pollution of our oceans, the privatization of water, all of the things these people are doing, all of it is aimed at control and depopulation. What do you think comes from controlling water, folks? I mean, water is the stuff of life. If you don't have water for 3 or 4 days, you die. That's just the way it is. And now you've got people like the CEO of Nestle saying that water is not a human right and that it should be privatized. Why do you think they're doing that, folks? Do you think it's to protect the environment? Do you think it's to protect corporate patents or corporate interests or something? It's not, folks. What it's about is to control life and who has access to life. Because when you control people's access to water, you are controlling their access to life. You are controlling the possibility of them staying alive or dying. That's what happens when you control water. I mean, there's been laws in place for years that you cannot alter a watercourse. You don't even own land next to a watercourse. If there's a creek or a river running through your property, you only own up to about 10 metres within the bank or something, because you can't own a watercourse because no one can own water. And yet here you have our governments. They've gotten so corrupt and so subservient to corporate interests that they're now willing to not only privatise water, but pollute and contaminate groundwater through practices such as coal seam gas mining and fracking and all the incredible amount of damage they're doing with that. So not only are they privatising the water that does exist, they are destroying water beneath the ground, and they are also making it illegal in many places for people to even collect rainwater. And think about that, folks. They're claiming ownership of water that falls from the sky. This is your government. This is people that you employ to manage your infrastructure for you, and they are stealing the very life from people, not just via the economic model, not just via poisoning them and spraying them and controlling the education and stupefying and dumbing them down and feeding them toxins and vaccines and fluoride and everything they are, but also by removing their access to water. Of course, they can't totally remove people's access to air because it's everywhere. So what they are doing is polluting the air to the point that it is doing as much damage as what the GM food and the contaminated water is doing to people. So it really is an attack that is coming from all fronts, folks. But of course, if you're one of the ruling parasites who lives on one of the largest states that the ruling parasites own, and you are in control of all of the natural seed banks the way the ruling parasites are, and you're not subject to all the vaccinations and all the toxins and all the things that they inflict upon the rest of society, then you're going to be pretty good to go. And that's the way they've got it set up, folks. The question is, how much are people prepared to take of this, and at what point are people going to say enough is enough and realize that any action that they mount against this system and the psychopaths who run this system really is an action that is being mounted in self-defense, regardless of what any politicians or police officers or legal system says, because the reality is, folks, that there is no law on this earth. Because if there was law, then all of the situations that I've described for you on this show and in so many previous shows, hundreds of shows that I've done over the last 8 years, none of these situations could exist if there was any true or real law on this earth. If there was true and real law, the situation in Palestine certainly would not exist. And if there is true and real law, then the situation in Palestine can be used to alleviate everything that I've mentioned on this show and everything that I've mentioned on all of the previous shows, because the situation in Gaza alone provides a legal key that mankind can use that can do one of two things, and that is, one, it can pull this entire kakistocracy down in one fell swoop and thereby eliminate all of the issues that these criminals have created and are continuing to create, or two, it can expose the fact that there is no law on this earth, and hopefully that will create some sort of global groundswell that will cause people to stand up and say, enough is enough. You know, Palestine's been staring the world in the face for so long now, and it is such a key to mankind's freedom that it just amazes me how people can't see it. But of course they can't see it because of the programming that they've been subject to. You know, people think of Palestine, they think of Gaza Strip, and they think of a den of Muslim terrorists, because this entire Islamophobic mentality has been whipped up in people by the powers that believe they be and by the utterly corrupt warmongering-controlled media. And they've been promoting this for years and years, and people think of Gaza and they think of Muslim terrorists and they just don't want to help anybody. They can't open their hearts up to any people who are not white. They can't open their hearts up to any people who the media doesn't tell them are safe. And this is amazing, because people know how corrupt the media is. They know how controlled the media is. They know how corrupt and controlled their government is. And yet they still believe that all of these acts of terrorism that are being carried out around the world are being carried out by Muslim extremists, when nothing could be further from the truth. All these acts of terrorism have been carried out by our governments, mostly led by the rogue state of Israel. The Zionist influence around the world, folks, is what has created this entire mess. And the fact that Gaza Strip and Palestine holds the key for mankind's freedom is one of the reasons this Islamophobia has been whipped up around the world, so that people will not look beyond the fact that the people, or the majority of people in Gaza, are Arabs. And they think that if you're an Arab, you're a Muslim. That's it. They don't realize that not all the people in Gaza are practicing Muslims. Many of them are simply Palestinians. 35% of the population in Gaza are in fact Christian. And what the population of Gaza really is a population of imprisoned and impoverished children. And if they could open up their hearts to this incredible human rights abuse that is right before their eyes, they could also find the means and the legal mechanism to heal all the problems that they are facing at home. And the reason they don't look at it is because of Islamophobia. And this has been very much done by design, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this war on terror is so incredibly, utterly, obviously fake that it just blows my mind how so many people can't see it for what it is. It blows my mind how anybody could support their governments in the actions that they're taking in this fake war on terror. It blows me out how anybody could support their government in their stance to bomb Syria, to contribute funds to the rogue state of Israel and contribute to the genocide it's carrying out against the Palestinian people. I mean, here we have Israel bulldozing homes left, right and center, impoverishing and imprisoning children and carrying out war crime after war crime after war crime, all with funding that it receives from the West. All of the atrocities that have been carried out by Saudi Arabia against its people, all of the bombing that's been carried out against Yemen, none of this would be possible without support and funding from all of our governments, folks. All of our governments are controlled by Zionist influences, and they're all being used to funnel the wealth of Western nations into certain interests in the Middle East and the banking cartels that control them to create this entire theater of conflict that we're now seeing in the Middle East that is fast becoming worldwide. But it's us who fights the wars, folks. It's us who pays the taxes, it's us who consumes the products, and it's us who joins the army and goes and fights the battles for these people. And all these battles are going and killing innocent people in foreign countries. None of the people that we kill in any of these wars had anything to do with the problems that our governments are trying to address or attempting to address or saying they're addressing or whatever it is the story they've cooked up. Like I said, it's just two politicians from different corporate department stores having an argument of resource control with each other, and so they bomb innocent people as a result, and they justify it to the people. You know, what makes the people in Western countries support their governments when they say, oh, we have to go and bomb Syria? How is going and bombing Syria overthrowing Assad? How come they've been bombing Syria for 3 years and Assad is still in power? If you wanted to throw Assad out of power, you'd go and bomb Assad, wouldn't you? You don't go and bomb Syria. You don't go and bomb whole cities and destroy ancient infrastructure and ancient baths and some of the most incredibly beautiful cities and structures that we've ever had. You don't destroy everything you can in a country in order to overthrow the leader and then 3 years later have the leader still there. That's not the way it works. This is just wanton death and destruction, folks, and it's been carried out on a grand scale in all of these countries by all of the governments that we are supporting and funding by paying taxes, by voting, by contributing to any way in the actions of these people. They're all psychopaths and criminals, folks, and we've got to stop contributing to it. And we've got to start calling it out and start making noise. Start putting thorns in their side in every single way that we can. Start mounting legal action. Start mounting political action. Start mounting any sort of action you can think of. But above all, enlighten and awaken your community by being polite and eloquent in what you do. But don't take a backward step. Don't hesitate to call a spade, and don't hesitate to ask these politicians to show cause where they shouldn't be held accountable for their actions. and to show cause why we shouldn't construct a legal system that actually works if they're not going to be held accountable for their actions, and ask them to show cause how they have the right to enact legislation that prevents them from being liable for prosecution for the crimes that they commit. And yet, in the same breath, claiming that there is law on this earth and claiming that we should be subject to the rules that they make when they themselves place themselves above these same laws. Now, the whole system is backwards and humanity has been turned on its head. And this really is the last generation that is going to be able to deal with this problem, because what they're doing to the education system and the surveillance society that they're putting in place, with these new games and applications and the smart grid and everything they're doing, folks, once this gets locked down, it's going to be very difficult for the kids that are coming out of school to even have the mental capacity to be able to deal with these problems. I mean, sure, we have some really, really bright kids being born at the moment. We have kids that are being born that are on the next level of intelligence, but they're being vaccinated to the point of mental numbness. And then they're being introduced into an education system which is designed to prevent them from ever thinking critically, from ever thinking outside of the box, and to lock them into a virtual world of games and texting and mobile phones and a digital reality where they just don't participate in the world that they are actually living in. It's a very, very dangerous situation we're heading for, folks, and it's up to our generation to stand up and make a difference. You know, I may seem a little urgent on these shows sometimes, and I may go down all sorts of tangents. I mean, I've tried to look at solutions from every single conceivable angle that I can think of. I've tried working within the system. I've tried working without the system. I've tried everything I can to try to empower people into taking action themselves on the ground and at least getting to know their neighbours and putting in gardens and speaking to the people around them and taking the system on in their own community. I've done everything I can to try to make this happen. And folks, we can still make it happen. You know, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. The system is exposing itself for what it is, and the wheels are falling off because the politicians are making so many mistakes now. All of these fake terror attacks that they're staging, some of them are so obviously fake. I mean, I don't even know if people are dying in these attacks anymore. I don't even bother looking or investigating them anymore because it's just the same scenario. I don't need to know all the ins and outs of how the false flag was staged. I know it was a false flag because they're all false flags, because I've traveled a lot around the world and I've met a lot of people from a lot of different cultures, and I've never met anybody who wanted to kill anybody. And every time I do see one of these terror attacks staged, it just somehow seems to always follow the same agenda and to always have the same type of legislation introduced and to always bring about an escalation in this incredibly fake war of terror that is being waged around the world. So I don't even need to look anymore, folks. I know they're staged just because they're happening and just because the agenda and the result is always the same. So again, in the face of all of this, the question really becomes, what are you prepared to do about it? What is everyone prepared to do about it? What is the man on the street, the person listening to this show, prepared to do about this situation? You know, so many people listen to these broadcasts and they expect that somehow the big solution is just going to be introduced and the world's going to change. You know, some people say, well, where's all the solutions, Max? You know, I've provided solutions on every single show, but it needs audience participation. That's the thing. I can't save the world for you. No one can. And if people are not prepared to participate, if they're not prepared to put the information that they know into action, then what is the point of any of it? What is the point of even hoping for change or expecting change to come from any direction if you yourself are not prepared to get involved? Now, everybody has to get involved, folks. That's what life's about. It's about being involved. It's about being involved in all the good ways and all the ways that you can. Sure, you can be involved in bad ways too. There are many people that are, but I don't think that's really the path that people should take. I think that all the bad things that are happening are simply providing the opportunities that we need to step into our own power and to step into our own spiritual path. You know, I really believe that there are so many issues that are providing these opportunities for us. I keep returning to Gaza and Palestine because of the legal ramifications it holds and the legal key that it does hold and its ability to expose the legal system as the fiction that it is. And also for the ability it provides for people to be able to put down their stuff and open their hearts up to the children that are suffering on their behalf. So it is a very interesting time, folks. We are being attacked on many, many fronts, and we are facing a great many challenges, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel if people can simply choose to get involved. But I think we are now at the end of the show, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it here for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. It really would help if people would like to make some. It really would help if people were to sign up to the Patreon account and perhaps subscribe to the website as well, just to provide a little bit of support and to keep it functioning, to keep the show on the air. That really is all that's keeping the show going these days, folks, and I send my sincere thanks to all those who are supporting the show and who have supported it over the years. But that is it for me. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again this week, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.